Hello, everybody. I'm hoping that you are dealing okay, rather better than the world itself. With Mercury retrograde, we have two more weeks of Mercury retrograde. Oh, wait, I didn't turn on the video. Here I am. So, I'll start again. So, great to see you guys, now that I can actually see. And I'm hopeful you had a good weekend, still having it. We are on our 32nd meeting this season, 32 paths of wisdom according to the Tree of Life. So it is an auspicious number. And there's a lot to talk about today. As you can see, the Mercury retrograde in Aries, which is the god of war, is kind of raging on. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about, of course, the week ahead, April 14 to 21st, I guess, just before the full moon. So next week we can talk about the full moon. Now, I'm sorry about using this little thing all the time and turning it on and off. It's because I'm using it to make you guys little segments for each day. As you know, with Instagram, I don't know if anybody is working with Meta or knows what's going on there, but they have deleted me from the live option, even though in the status of my handle of the profile, it says that I am supposed to be alive, but I guess I am not. So everything that happens is good overall. I always think that way. So this way, at least now I don't have live anymore, but I make little segments. So it's much easier for you guys to see it on Instagram. So that's a good thing. So I'm just telling you that this is what I'm using all the time to turn on the days and the nights. So what we'll do is go over the week ahead first and then look at what's going on in the world. I guess it is somewhat connected. So let's start with April 14. It's a Sunday. We have Mercury in Aries. Remember, we talked about how we have quite a lot of emphasis on Aries and in Pisces. Together, they have about 60% of the chart, these two signs, the sign that begins things and the sign that ends things. And we have today, the Sunday, we have the moon in Cancer on top of Vesta. Vesta is the goddess of the hearth, so it has to do a lot with home, with family, with nurturing. And of course, Cancer is the sign that rules these things. And of course, the moon is the ruler of Cancer. So having the moon on top of Vesta, on top of in Cancer, is actually very good for staying home, connecting to family members, really being associated with everything that has to do with security. So the idea behind security is very strong today. And tomorrow we start the week basically with the moon in Cancer. The only thing, when the moon is in Cancer while we are in the realm of Aries, she's not getting the best vibe. You know, it's almost like the government now is an Aries government. It's full of fire and full of conquest and wanting to go out and blow things up, while the moon in Cancer is not elected to one of the representation right now, because it's having a hard time with the fact that it's water and it wants security and it wants the family to be together. That's not happening with the sun is in Aries, which takes the men to war, and these days also the women to war. So it is against the energies of Cancer. So now we have this Sunday, Monday, we have a little bit of a clash between the sun and the moon, father and mother, which creates a lot of feeling of lack of satisfaction, or feeling like something is kind of nasty in the stomach, as if we ate something bad, but it wasn't food, it was information, or it was situation, or it was something else that caused this kind of feeling of nauseous. So again, we might be nauseous with ourselves or with other people. The good thing about the moon in Cancer while we're leading this in April 2024 is that it activates the Saturn, Mars, and Neptune that are in Pisces. So what the moon does, it gives quite a lot of energy towards the Piscean flow. Now, the issue with what's happening now with the world is that we don't need more of that Pisces. Thank you very much. We had 2,000 years of Pisces. We had 2,000 years where religion and religious people decided where we're going and what God wants and what God doesn't want and who God loves and who God doesn't love. We had enough of that. And we are now at the edge of the age of Pisces, really getting ready to go into the age of Aquarius. But you can see that a lot of the conflicts in the world right now could be based around or is very much emphasized by religion. I don't have to talk about the Middle East, of course. And there was this funny article about how Russia is sending priests out in airplanes so they can pray for victory over Ukraine. I mean, yeah, as if God needs to be reminded that there is a war and needs to choose sides, you know. So the whole idea of extra religious fervor is what's taking this world apart. But anyway, we have that moon actually strengthening the Pisces. So if we take the age of Pisces aside and just look at Pisces for what it is right now, this is actually on Sunday and Monday a great day to project your creative visualization. So we talked about how even science agrees that creative visualization can affect life. It can at least affect your immune system, lymphatic system, and it does create that link between, you know, emotions and the physicality. I'm sure it also does it in the outside world. So again, the fact that the moon is going to be in Cancer Sunday, Monday, a little bit of Tuesday, it's activating Saturn in Pisces, great for meditations, great for imagination, great for intuition and psychic energy. So a lot of us are going to have today and tomorrow great insights about our life, especially issues that have to do with home and family. And again, pay attention to your immune system, lymphatic system. Pay attention to what you're eating. Moon in Cancer can be a little bit tough on the stomach, but it's not only what you're eating as food, but also what you're eating as information and emotions and even contact with people. So just be aware this week, this Sunday and Monday is the clash between water and fire, action and reception. And I can see it already happening in the world. You know, after the 3,300 missiles and drone attack of Iran to Israel, what would be the response? So now we're kind of waiting to see what will be the response. You know, I told you in Mercury retrograde, everything is about the RE. So that's why everybody is now looking like in a tennis, you know, match, like looking left, looking right, looking left, looking right. So right now we are waiting to see what's going to happen. That's why there is that fire, water colliding, action and reception, which creates a lot of steam. Steam is a lot of talk. So I don't want to join that talk. But again, during Mercury retrograde, the connection between fire and water can be a little bit more extreme, a little bit more difficult. What you could do today on Sunday, chill out, relax, spend time by water if possible. And the best way to combine the water and the fire is to do action or to be active fire by the water source, Pisces and Cancer, or to engage in physical activities that have to do with water, or doing yoga because that's action and Pisces, which is movement, or doing hot yoga because that's at least fire coming from Aries and Pisces giving us the movement. So you are understanding, or maybe creative visualization about things that I want to act upon. So the more you can combine the archetype of fire, action, and Pisces, reception, Cancer, home and family, security, the more you are aligned with the zeitgeist, at least of the next few days. Now let's look at April 15, which is tax day, besides the fact that it also happens to be my birthday. So it's interesting because I was looking at it today and I was thinking, oh, April 15, it's my birthday tomorrow, it's Monday. And I was born on a Monday, which is the day of the moon. But that makes sense because every 18, 19 years, the North Node returns back to the place it was because the cycles of the sun and the moon are converging. And that means that I'm going through a nodal return. Why? Because the nodal return means that the North Node is in Aries. It's returning back to the place it was when I was born. So that's why my birthday falls on the same day it was when I was born. So every time your birthday falls on the day it was before, you're probably getting, when you were born, it probably you're getting some form of a connection to that, to your birthday, basically. So looking at April 15, like I said, tax day, it's the day of the moon, and the moon and the sun are in perfect argument, you can say. Look at the sun, it's 25 degrees Aries, the moon is 22 degrees Cancer, it's a perfect square. So again, lack of satisfaction issued between the mother and father, or your own mother and father, or what you consider as your mother and father, or the mother and father in your embassies, in your head. So again, Mercury also, the god of logic, not only it's in retrograde, so he's kind of illogical, he's also squaring the moon, which makes him even more emotional about being illogical. So you're talking about clashes of emotion, clashes of logic, people making wrong decisions. I definitely hope tomorrow is not going to be the day that something escalates in the Middle East, because the last thing I want on my birthday is to start a war, and that everybody will call the April 15 war, and then my birthday is messed up like all the people that were born in 9/11 after 9/11, you know. So I hope that they're not going to elect it tomorrow for selfish reasons. But anyway, tomorrow we still have that Chiron on top of Mercury. You can see what happened was that Mercury passed over Chiron, remember, a few days ago on the new moon and the full moon. Then it went back because it's retrograding right now. And it's going to be on top of Chiron. Old wounds, emotional wounds, physical wounds are coming up, especially in connection to words that you say, what you speak, what you text, what you retweet. So be extra careful of your communication in the next few days. But that Mercury on top of Chiron just means that there is a way to heal through words. So if people can pay really good attention to what they're saying, what they're writing, what they're texting, there could be some healing done through the use of word, or some healing of the nervous system, the lungs. So that's why tomorrow will be a great day for cardio. It will be a great day to exercise, but in a conscious way, again, because of the Aries that can cause a little bit of overtraining. Now, the thing about Venus being on top of the North Node, because the North Node is retrograding right now and it's about to touch Venus this week. This is actually a really good thing. Venus on top of the North Node means introduction to new potential partners, new ways of making money. I think it might even help a little bit what's going on with the stock market. Of course, we're dealing with Mercury retrograde, so a lot of ups and downs in all types of markets, regardless of the war that is going on right now. This is because, again, Mercury retrograde in Aries. But Mercury retrograde is going to be in Aries until the 26th. Retrograding. After that, it's going to go direct. Remember, there is the post-retrograde shadow that you have to pay a little bit attention to. But the biggest thing about Monday is definitely that Mercury-Chiron conjunction, and the fact that the North Node, which is good karma, or how you can fix your karma, is moving on top of Venus, which is everything that has to do with finance, your values, relationship and partnership, your money, and how you deal with other people. Now, the good news about it is that it's also the sign of Venus is also related to diplomacy. So there is a chance for some focus or some better energy around diplomacy, which is definitely something we desperately need. Now, Jupiter, you can see, is coming closer and closer to Uranus. It's actually going to happen next week in March 2021. We talked about it. It's precisely the time of the halving of the Bitcoin. So that also is going to be pretty dramatic. But more than anything, it is a conjunction for that can really benefit science, innovation, technology. So right now, something's going on, either in laboratory someplace, or they're waiting for the press release to come out. Something pretty powerful around 2021 is happening in connection to science, technology, innovation, especially AI, quantum technology. Something's going on. Something is steering behind the scene or already coming forward to it. So again, this Jupiter on top of Uranus once in 13, 14 years really gives science and technology a big boost of energy. It could also cause some kind of uprising and some kind of discord among people because, again, Uranus is the awakener revolution. It can be disruptive, but Jupiter usually is giving it a good context, or it's a good planet after all. Without Jupiter, there is no help. So a fact that it's on top of Uranus could cause a little bit of ups and downs, a little disruption, but that disruption eventually could be for something good, not for something bad. So we have a lot of conjunction. Venus is about to conjunct the North Node. Good karma in connection to relationship, partnership, and money. Chiron is touching Mercury right now. Again, could be some problem with the way we talk, with the way you communicate, but it also could be a way to heal old wounds, emotional or physical, through words and breath, by the way. And then we have the Jupiter on top of Uranus, which is another conjunction. The more conjunction there are, the more intensity there is. The more the planets are kind of combining into something new, which is a little bit more unpredictable. So overall, on Monday, the day of the moon is happy to be in Cancer. She's getting great energy from Mars. Action and emotions are linked together. Saturn is sending good energy to the moon, which is good because it can kind of chill things out a little bit. That being said, there are words that are going to be spoken tomorrow that people are going to definitely regret. And there is a little bit of this unpredictability going on because of the Jupiter on top of Uranus. But in your personal life overall, Monday, Tuesday, dedicate a little bit more to home, to family members. That would be really recommended. And if there are any issues in partnerships, in your work or relationships in general, this week is a great time to fix it. And again, even tomorrow, where there is this lack of satisfaction and this feeling of discord, still, when Venus is on top of the North Node and Chiron is the healer on top of Mercury, words can heal, especially in the context of relationships. Now let's look at April 16. It is a Tuesday. Supposedly, God said in Genesis two times it is good on Tuesday. So Tuesday is supposed to be a good day. The only thing is that it's ruled by Mars, the god of war. So the jury is out. But we have the moon moving into Aries, which is shifting the energies towards fire. So that's how it works. In the next month or 2 months, actually, we're moving away from Aries in 4 days, so that's fine. The moon in Leo is an instinct for love, for romance, for anything that is creative. So you're going to have an engine of creation coming to you on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a feeling of a little bit more happiness or a feeling of more excitement of life. Especially because the moon in Wednesday and Thursday is going to be trining the sun, which is great because unlike the first part of the week, which is strife between the sun and the moon, the second part of the week is actually harmony between the sun and the moon. And again, that's because the moon moved into a fire sign and it's activating Venus in Aries, which is making you more bold or more assertive about your relationship or even about money. Mercury, which is all about communication, Chiron, which is about healing, the North Node, which is about karma and good karma, actually, and the Sun, which is self-expression. So Tuesday and Wednesday, middle of the week, is actually giving you a boost of fire. What we also have at that time is, again, that strong conjunction that is getting stronger and stronger between Venus and North Node, which is going to be more towards the end of this week and beginning of next week. The conjunction between Mercury and Chiron is continuing, so you have to pay attention still in Wednesday Tuesday about how you communicate because of Mercury and Chiron, but Chiron already passed Mercury. The only thing that's interesting that's happening end of this week, beginning of next year week, is that Venus in one direction and Mercury retrograde on the other direction are coming on top of the North Node. Again, this is very rare that from both sides, the North Node is being caressed, you know, Venus on top of the North Node, meeting with people you've known in past lifetimes, or meeting with talents, or encountering places, or having relationships develop that are based on past lifetimes. And also, it is a time to a lot of learning, a lot of education, you can say, in relation to relationship, art, design, colors, even diplomacy. So that's actually really good because we need the most amount of diplomacy possible right now. Mercury on top of the North Node brings you in contact with thoughts, words, maybe books, maybe knowledge, wisdom that you have gained in past lifetime, and a way to express yourself much clearer. That's going to be the end of the week. So when we put those two things together, especially with Venus and Mercury coming together, Venus and Mercury in the mythology came together and actually made love, because you know anybody who comes in contact with Venus just have sex with her. You know, anytime anybody who comes to Mercury has communication with him, every time somebody meets Venus, they have sex with her. So when Mercury and Venus came together, I'm sorry, they talked a lot, but then they had a lot of sex and they had the Hermaphrodite came out of them, that combination of Hermes, man, and Aphrodite, a woman, Hermos Aphrodite. So that was their encounter. So this encounter is going to happen the end of middle of this month, which will be actually very good for relationship, partnership, and especially for marketing, sales of art, or anything that has to do with the ability to put together the archetype of art, design, colors, and communication and logic. So again, this is going to be very interesting. As you can see on Tuesday, the conjunction between Jupiter and Uranus, even though it's peaking on April 20th, is really tightening up this week. So that's going to be felt very, very strong by everybody. So the moon activating in a very good way everything that has to do with Neptune, which is intuition and mysticism, and Venus, which is, again, art, design, and color. So what we have on Tuesday and Wednesday is an interesting combination of the moon sending these beautiful trines to Neptune and Venus. Venus, of course, and Neptune are related very strongly. Neptune is the higher octave of Venus. So that also will be a very good flow of energy for us, especially in connection to instinct that has to do with art, money, finance. So if you hear a voice in your head in Tuesday telling you to do something or not do something in connection to finance, most likely it is something to follow. We also have a beautiful trine between Venus, the goddess of beauty, art, and justice, and the moon, which is home, family, and Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, which is kind of interesting because Trump's trial, I think, starts a day before. So that would be an interesting time to have that trial. Oopla. If we're looking now at April 17, we have the moon in Leo still. Of course, she's going to continue being there in Thursday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have the moon in a fire sign activating, like we said, Venus, Mercury, and the sun. While in Tuesday, we're getting prepared for that activation. Wednesday and Thursday is when it's really activated because most of the planets in Aries are at the end of Aries. Therefore, when the moon is towards the end of Leo, she's going to create all these beautiful blue lines, and she's connecting to Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, who is in Sagittarius, the sign of wisdom. We have, again, Venus and the North Node actually officially conjuncting on Wednesday. That is amazing because that is really good for anything to do with diplomacy, anything to do with money, talents, art. I think a lot of things are going to start recovering around then. Again, this is something that happens every year or so, year and a half. What's going on in the Middle East is hopefully not every year and a half or so. So sometimes certain events outside will be, you know, kind of detrimental for the world. But what I'm talking about right now, it is almost like saying this is the weather in your neighborhood in a sense. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's no global warming. You know what I mean? So the same thing is going on with what we're looking at in the planets right now. So the moon sending beautiful trine to Venus. This is actually very good harmony between home and family, or your genetics, or your epigenetics, or your ancestral karma with relationships and partnerships. So Wednesday is a great day for dating if you're looking for a day to date. It's also a day that you might encounter people that you know from past lifetimes, or encounter information that you might feel familiar, or a talent that suddenly is kind of itching and feeling like you need to express yourself with that. And the next thing you know, you're doing it. So there is something really karmic and interesting. It's almost as if we're all going through some kind of beautiful, fun past lifetime regression. Certain things are going to feel like a deja vu, a feeling like I've seen it before. I've dealt with it before. I met this person before. So really pay attention Wednesday. It can be a very, very interesting day. Again, the 17th of April, the moon will be basically doing really good things with all of that Aries energy. The only problem with Wednesday is that the moon is going to be squaring Jupiter. Be careful not to overdo, try too much, smother people too much, give people too much, you know, so just know your boundaries. And because the moon is going to be squaring also Uranus at that time, that could be unpredictability. We are adding a randomness into that day. So even though I told you it's a great day for dating, you might meet somebody amazing, already set the date, already know where you're going to meet, and then she has an accident on the way there, or the restaurant closes early, or there is a flood in the parking lot and you can't find a place to park. Something is going to kind of jinx it because of that unpredictability of the moon in Uranus. Again, knowing that, you can just be more aware, take more time to get to that date or whatever. But Overall, again, with the moon and Venus sending such beautiful energy to each other, it could override the moon squaring Uranus and the moon squaring Jupiter. But still, it is an interesting day. There is not that much oppositions. The only opposition we have is Mars opposite to the black moon. Now, remember, we talked about it. The black moon is a very tough point in the chart. I used to not pay attention to it, but lately I've noticed that you have to pay attention to her, the mother of demons, Lilith. And she's very aggressive, obviously, and she being opposite to Mars is not the best news. So that's going to be happening Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we have to pay extra attention from gossip or bad mouthing or just being nasty. So be careful not to start channeling the black moon. And the way you can channel the black moon directly or indirectly, because she's in Virgo, is through criticism, over analytical, being a little bit too stingy with yourself or other people, just saying no too much. So be careful of that tendency. Again, those no's can create some kind of violence. So if you're talking about be careful not to retaliate so much or responding in the Middle East, definitely Wednesday and Thursday and Friday when the black moon is opposite to Mars can cause trouble. Besides that, though, most of the planets are aligned pretty well. We hardly have any opposition in the planets right now. Opposition means that the Earth is not stuck between two planets that are pushing and pulling in different direction. The only opposition, like I said, is Mars and the black moon, which is not really a planet, it's a place, it's the dark side of the moon or the furthest point of the moon from in her cycle. But overall, there is no opposition, which I think is really good. It means that most of the issues are self-inflicted, not necessarily coming from outside. April 18, we have the moon, yes, still in Leo for the first part of the day, creating a beautiful trine to the sun. So Thursday is a good day to make things happen again, because the moon is no longer squaring Jupiter and Uranus, so she's freed from that negativity, but she's getting good energy from Mercury, communication, Venus, anything to do with relationship, partnership, finance even, from Chiron, which is the wounded healer, from the sun, which is your self-expression. So Thursday is much better than Wednesday in that sense. Venus is past already the North Node, but there is some echoes of that, some echoes, reverberations of encounters from people from past lifetimes or skills from past lifetime. So in that sense, it is very good. Mercury already passed Chiron, not so much problems there, but Mercury is getting very much conjunct with Venus, because Venus is going direct and Mercury is going retrograde, and they're kind of coming together. They're going to be coming together in the weekend, which is, again, a great time for relationship, partnerships, and conversation with a partner, especially people that you might have known in the past lifetime or past in this life, because Mercury is retrograding and she is returning to Venus, and it's very close in the conjunction with the North Node, which again is a very karmic sign. The Mars is sitting there still opposite to, the black moon actually passed Mars. Now that I think about it, the black moon was opposite to Mars. No, it's actually, yeah, it is going to happen on Wednesday already. Friday. So we'll get to it in a second with the black moon opposite to Mars. But yeah, the second part of the week, we have to be extremely careful of what we say and how we communicate and our retaliation, because it could be very vindicative around that time when the black moon again is in Virgo. It's very judgmental, opposite to Mars in Pisces, which, funny enough, Mars is trying to be nice because Mars is in Pisces. It's more empathic. It's like a soldier that maybe cries after he kills someone. But the black moon in Virgo is the ultimate nightmare of a super nanny that's gone evil, you know. So again, just pay extra attention on Thursday and Friday with the way you speak about things, with the way you talk. Stay away from gossip at all price. If anybody starts saying bad things about the person you hate the most, tell them you don't want to hear it, okay? So just be careful Thursday, Friday with the power of the word. But again, there's still no opposition. If we don't cause the oppositions, the opposition will not necessarily happen. But April 18, overall, you have the perfect conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus actually starting to happen, even though it's going to happen and peak on the 20th, because still Jupiter is not that fast. It is touching the same degree as Uranus. And now let's look at the degree where they interact. The Sabian symbol is white dove over troubled waters. Oh my God, we definitely need that. That is a very good sign. April 18, the Sabian symbol of Jupiter on top of Uranus, which is unpredictable. It's supposed to be positive. White dove, which is the symbol of peace over troubled water. The troubled water is, yes, you know, definitely the Middle East, between the river to the sea, to quote some ill-informed people. So again, Jupiter on top of Uranus, right at 21st degree Taurus, which gives us some hope of the holy dove coming after over the holy water. So we have on Thursday, the moon at the end of Leo, almost moving into Virgo. So what we already know is that this weekend is going to be the moon in Virgo weekend. So it's a weekend of cleansing and cleaning and spring cleaning if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, because Virgo is all about cleaning. So let's go to Friday. So on Friday, April 19, like I said, the moon is moving into Virgo. Since we have already the black moon in Virgo, that's not the easiest thing, because we have the moon, the black moon and the light moon are kind of mingling together. So the white is not really white. The black is not really black. Lilith is starting to get a little bit more compassionate, but the moon and the mother is becoming more Lilith-like. It's kind of a awfully confusing. So this Friday you might encounter the good mother, the bad mother, the nurturing one, the not very nurturing one, the devouring mother, the all-engulfing mother that basically makes you feel guilty all the time, and the good mother who wants to push you towards success. So again, moon on top of the moon is going to happen more on Saturday, and it is going to be opposite to Mars. So right when the moon is touching the black moon on Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be opposing Mars. That's not a very good weekend. So sorry, but the next weekend is a little bit dangerous. We have the sun moving from Aries into Taurus. That's going to happen on Saturday. So there is a change of guard. Always when there is a change of guard, you know how all the people that are planning the hastes and all these bank robberies are usually trying to time it to the time where the guards change. It's a very vulnerable time. So the guards change in astrology is once a month, when the sun moves after being 30 days in one archetype to another archetype. And so the 30 days that sun spent in Aries is going to be done on Friday. And on Saturday, the day of Saturn, the day of karma, we're going to move the sun into Taurus for 30 days. And that's also a sign that we have representation, because Jupiter and Uranus are in Taurus as well, and they're going to remain there. So we have a lot of emphasis. So I think what's going to happen is that the emphasis is moving from Pisces and Aries into Pisces and Taurus, which is actually much more easy to manage. But this weekend, Friday, the moon is in Virgo. It's a great day for diets, for getting work done. So Friday is a great day for practical things that you need to do. It's anything to do with scheduling, anything to do with health, diet, routine, work, purge, purification, detoxing, a time to be a little bit more solitude, because don't forget, Virgo is ruled by the card, the Hermit. So the moon being in Virgo throughout this weekend, you know, it's a weekend to clean things, clean your body, clean your house, clean your office, clean your life. Because it's sitting on top of the black moon, especially on Saturday, there could be some issues coming up, especially with friendships, especially with co-workers, even though it's a weekend. So maybe it's good that it's happening in the weekend. So try not to work on Saturday. Be a good Jew, because that's going to be the peak of misunderstanding with co-workers. So just be extra careful around that time. So yes, the moon is going to be opposite to Saturn. That's going to be on Friday. There's some karmic debts with family members that are coming up. Then when the moon is going to move on Saturday, it's going to be opposing Mars and opposing Neptune, which is intuitive, but also awfully confusing and full of deception. So be extra careful. Again, the conjunction of Jupiter on top of Uranus in Taurus, the dove, the white dove, hopefully she does her business over the troubled water and calm it down. But on the personal level, Jupiter on top of Uranus is really good for innovation, technology, e-commerce, even though Mercury is retrograde, so be careful of that. But you might get a lot of ideas, especially how to make money or in connection to finance. Now, Jupiter on top of Uranus could also represent some up and down, unpredictable things around the stock markets because, again, Taurus is finance. Uranus is unpredictable, but Jupiter does create expansion, that there could be expansion eventually coming out of all the ups and downs and turbulent period. Mercury and Venus are conjunct on Friday, the day of Venus. So that's kind of beautiful. It's very poetic. Venus is about to touch Chiron, so you better use it really fast before some wounds are coming in relation to relationship. But on Friday still, we have that Mercury on top of Venus, which is great time to make peace. And the white dove is there as well. So to make peace, to connect to partners, to use more diplomacy instead of brute force. The fact that we have Venus, the peacemaker in Aries war, does give some proposal or some option for negotiations in a sense. And Venus is 17 degrees Aries. It's an empty hammock. Empty hammock is not very romantic. But that's the Sabian symbol for 17 degrees when Mercury and Venus come together in Aries. So again, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, a lot of conjunction. We have the conjunction of Mercury and Venus, the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus, and the conjunction of Venus and the Moon and the Black Moon. Very intense weekend is the next weekend. So tread carefully. If we look at Saturday... Saturday, the April 20th. So that is an interesting time. It's the first day of the sun in Taurus. It's supposed to be the Bitcoin halving also, and it's happening during Taurus, which is, of course, the raging bull. It is the sign of finance. But it's happening right when the moon and the black moon are coming together. And they're going to come together on 22 degrees Virgo. Let's look at 22 degrees Virgo. A lion tamer rushes fearlessly into the circus arena. It's a circus out there. Well, moon on top of Virgo, 22 degrees. 22 degrees is always auspicious. Remember, we talked about it. 22 is associated with the Joker, the fool. It's a master number. It's a master builder. But because it's the black moon, it could be the master destroyer. So that's why this weekend, I told you, is a little bit tough. And the oppositions are starting to form. The moon is opposite to Saturn and opposite to Mars. Both of them are considered to be the worst planets. So having both of them opposite to the moon that is challenged by the black moon, again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, take heed, be extra careful. It doesn't look very easy and very flowing. It could be some discord with family members because the moon is opposite to Saturn, some revelation of a secret that nobody heard about on you, because the opposition of the moon and the black moon is not only with Saturn during Saturday, it's also with Mars and also with Neptune. So from not having any opposition, suddenly we're having a lot of opposition, which means actual things that are blocking our way and creating difficulties and strife. So again, be extra careful. We're now moving 30 days into Taurus. Taurus is more about finance. It's more about art, design, colors, the five senses, things that have to do with finance and values. So we are going to be very much about our values in the next month, or things will happen that are in connection to what our values are. But because Jupiter is in Taurus and we are in Taurus, and Jupiter at the end of May is leaving Taurus, there could be some help coming, especially financially. And the oppositions, we just have to pass through. And opposition basically means that you might be finding yourself caught between two friends or two colleagues. Usually it's going to be around work, or two healing modalities, because it's happening in Virgo. Maybe one medicine compared to another medicine, or two job offers, two appointments kind of colliding, or two tasks that you need to do, two missions that you have that are trying to fight over you, over your time. So there is definitely a sense of stress on this weekend. The remedy for that, Taurus. Taurus is Mother Nature. As much as you can, spend time in nature. The moon in Virgo, green. Taurus, Sun, Jupiter in Taurus, it's all about nature. The three planets in Pisces, rivers. If you can do the Santeria ritual, what they do is with Oshun, what they do is basically they go to the ocean, they go to the river, and you basically cover yourself with water, especially if it's cold water. It's supposed to make you kind of shake, and you're supposed to laugh out loud to the goddess of the river and basically let go of whatever it is that causes you strife. And especially with the black moon, there should be quite a lot. So if you have a river around you and it's cold water and you can actually get a little bit into it or splash some water into it without getting completely, some acid on you, then definitely do that, because that could really, really help. Besides that, if we look at Sunday, April 21st, that is the moon is moving into Libra on Sunday. That's actually going to be helpful. Of course, the moon in Libra is going to be conjunct the South Node, so it's going to help you to let go of something maybe in your home or your family. So one good ritual for Sunday is, symbolically speaking, taking something out of your home or something that represents an aspect in your relationship that you don't like and casting it away, getting it out of your home, getting it out of your life, getting it out of your family. Or if there's something you always wanted to say, getting it out of your chest. Because the moon in Libra is usually the moon of peace. So again, with the white dove before and now with the moon in Libra in peace, but that happens every month and there's no peace every month. But I'm just saying, for 2.5 days at least, there is some more degree of possibility with diplomacy. And we have a very strong influence of Venus because in Sunday, Venus is going to be conjunct in Chiron. So there could be some old wounds coming out of relationships or issues or patterns in relationship that might manifest. Your partner might be wounded. You might be wounded, your partner. So just be a little bit careful of that. And the moon being in Libra, also ruled by Venus. Taurus is ruled by Venus. So we have 40% of the chart in that day with connection to Venus as well as the conjunction of Chiron on top of Venus. So definitely there is quite a lot of energy going out there in connection to relationships and partnership. But the moon in Libra overall is considered to be auspicious and positive. Now let's look at a few things that I wanted to share with you. And yeah, I just want to remind you, if you guys are in Europe, I'm going to be in Sofia between May 13th to 20th, in Dubai from May 23rd to 28th. So I'm going to do readings there and workshops in Istanbul from May 28th to June 7th. Sofia again from June 10th to 25th, because I'm going to actually go also to Plovdiv. And also we're going to be doing something in Varna. Zurich, June 25 to July 2nd, Tel Aviv, July 16 to 23rd, and London, July 23rd to 30. So in all these places, I'm doing workshops. If you guys are there, readings, workshops, you can just email me, gal@cosmicnavigator.com. And if you are in LA on April 30th, we're going to do that embodying the astrology workshop. So you're going to be able to witness your chart in act in front of you. So let's look. Yeah, the first thing that I wanted to talk about, which is interesting, let's talk a little bit about what was going on in the last few days. I think we talked about the chart of Israel last week, and I told you that Israel is a Taurus, and therefore Jupiter is now in Taurus. And it means that at least Israel has until April 27th, Israel has the protection of Jupiter, because Jupiter is moving once in 13, 14 years on top of Israel's sun. So that's going to present some protection. After that, there is no protection. And not only that, Uranus, the planet of unpredictable, crazy, wild energy, is going to be on top of the sun of Israel in the middle end of May. And that means that something is shifting in the direction of the country, but also in the context of leadership, because usually in the chart of countries, the leadership is the sun. It's interesting that in the Iranian chart, the moon is going to be activated at the same time. So what's happening at the end of this month and the end of May, towards the end of May, so it's covering the next month and a half, Jupiter is going to be touching for the first time in 13, 14 years the moon of Iran. And the moon in the country's chart is connected to the people. So the fact that Jupiter is moving on top of the moon, I don't know, there is a chance that maybe there's going to be some kind of awakening in the context of the people. Maybe some of the people will renew their demonstration against the messianic leader, the Khomeini. So hopefully the Middle East can get rid of all the messianic fools and all of the religious craziness there. I think it will be a great place without so much religion. But in the context of what happened yesterday, of course, from 2 p.m., I remember I looked at the clock at that time, the watch, and I was driving back from somewhere, and I heard about the missiles being, you know, launched towards Israel. So, of course, I connected with my family. Most of my family were kind of joking about it. They were not literally going to the shelters, even though some of the people were going there. But, you know, in Israel, they're already used for to rain, to earthquakes, and to drones coming from the sky. But while I was reading it, there was some interesting thing happening at 4 o'clock from from Seth Frantzman. And it's something that I've also noticed in other situations. And it's called the knowing field. That's actually going to be, that's the basis of family constellations, for example. Or some people say that this is the basis of telepathy or the ability to, for people, parents to feel kids or for lovers to know what's going on or for friends to be aware of what's going on with other people. Because the idea is that there is this knowing field. So imagine like electromagnetic field that I can't really see the waves of the radio or the TV, but they still can be perceived by my TV or my radio or my phone if it's a podcast. So the knowing field is something similar. It's not electromagnetic. We can't recognize it yet. The same way that until Newton we couldn't recognize gravity even though it was pulling us down. The knowing field might not be discovered yet, but it's connecting us all. And this is a great example of the knowing field. Remember I told you about the knowing field when we talked about this experiment that they made with putting two cameras, one over in the house where there was a dog, and the other one was with the owner of the dog. It was traveling to a different city, and the two cameras were basically positioned on both of them. And right when the person said, very far away, beyond smell and beyond sound for the dog, I'm going home, it's time to go back home, the dog at home stood up and ran towards the door. And that apparently happens a lot with dogs and their owners. It's just that the owner is not there to see that it's happening. And of course, you know, the owner took a long time to get back home. So the dog since then went back to sit down. He's not going to wait the whole time by the door. But that instinct of going to the door because he heard or he knew that the owner is coming back is part of that knowing field. So this is the quote from it. I have no idea if this is a correlation. Of course, correlation is not cause and effect. It's two things happening simultaneously. But about 20 minutes before all the interceptions over Jerusalem area, every dog in a few miles radius was barking like a cacophony. Then they abruptly stop a bit before the air defense and set up interceptors and haven't heard the dog since. I told someone that we've had interceptions soon, and indeed it happened. So it's almost as if the dogs, like a bad knee before the rain, could feel that interception's coming. Now, they could feel that there is an attack coming over their territory and that they could probably maybe hear, or they just knew that there was going on. And you know how it is with dogs. They start barking or misbehaving because they feel that the alpha around them is not functioning. So they have to take control. So they were like the dogs of Jerusalem. Oh my God, God is not doing anything. His angels are not here for thousands of years. There's bombs coming over here and nobody's doing anything. So they started barking, barking, barking until, thank God, they started the dome or the planes are there. The dogs probably realized, okay, they're doing something to stop it. We can just chill out now. Alphas are back in control. But that's, again, a very interesting example of how sometimes during wars and conflicts, certain things are discovered because it's like funneling so many events to the same spot, to the same moment. Another interesting thing is, as you know, the Iranians are Shiites. The Shiites do not consider Jerusalem that holy. It's just another city with some nice buildings. So they were trying to actually throw some missiles over Al-Aqsa or over the mount, the holy mount, that where you have the Wailing Wall and when you have the shrine, which is the third most important thing for the Muslims. And of course, Jerusalem is the most important thing for Christians. Maybe Rome a little bit more. I don't know. There's a little bit of competition. But anyway, if they would have succeeded and the Wailing Wall and the Al-Aqsa would have been destroyed, most likely the crazy Messianic Jews would say, okay, now it's time to build the temple, and the Messianic evangelists here in America would send all the funding to do that. And again, we'll have the third temple and Jesus will come. But again, it's kind of interesting because this is all happening very close to Passover. And it's all happening, supposedly, because of the assassination that was done on April 1st in the Syrian consulate. that Israel assassinated, what was his name? Raza something, Muhammad Raza. So that was happening April 1st, on the first day of Mercury retrograde, on April's Fool, on the birthday of Iran. Some of you don't know, but April 1st is the birthday of Iran. Iran is in Aries, and Iran does have Mercury retrograde in exile in Pisces, but that's a different story. But it makes sense that Iran, which is considered itself an Islamic republic, has Mercury communication retrograde in Pisces, the sign of religion and fanaticism. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. 300 drones, and I immediately thought about 300, the battle of Thermopylae, you know, but the battle with the Spartans and the Persians, the last time the Persians invaded the West. But again, that was an interesting situation. And again, we'll have to see what happens in the response. Like, I would say the best thing right now is to hold back the response, not to respond. But again, when we're dealing with so many messianic people there, it is impossible. But it's very, very similar to what happened in January 2020 when Tehran also, like this time, gave the troops in America, remember in the bases there, at least 10 hours in advance so they can leave it, and then they bombed it. The same thing that they did with the Iranians did this time. You know, if you really want to destroy your enemy, you don't tell them a week before that you're going to do it, and you don't send missiles from 1,000 miles away when you have so much time to prepare for it. So it was obvious that it was more like, okay, we have to do something. We should definitely do something. But let's see. Again, when Mercury is retrograde, even if you were planning something very, very good and very smart, it's not going to go. And I can tell you right now from my experience in the Middle East, there's nobody smart right now in the steering wheel in other sides. So we are really at the mercy of Mercury. Okay, there is actually... Now I want to talk about something that is actually interesting. Sorry, it's not that I mean that the things before were not interesting. All these things are very interesting for me, but I'm hopeful that it's also interesting for you. So this is from the Daily Science News, and it is something that most of you probably have read. From April 9, 2024, right when there was the solar eclipse in Aries, which is a very aggressive and rageful and angry sign, ruled by Mars, the god of war, which is the red planet. So when you get red, you get really angry. So what they discovered in Japan in the Nagoya University, it just came out again on April 8th, which is, I remind you, a new moon in Aries when the sun and the moon were together in eclipse. That happens every 19 years. After being insulted, researchers in Japan, they gave their subjects to write an essay. And then after that, they scored their essay, but they didn't really score it. They feigned a dislike to the essay. So basically, they wrote back to them, "This is not a very nice essay. You did not really attack the issue as you should have. We're very disappointed," whatever. They wrote to them in Japanese, telling them that their essay sucked. And what that brought is the anger, of course. It brought the anger out. And right at that time, they used that anger to study how you can get rid of anger. How can you reduce anger? So after being insulted, they found out that when the subject wrote down their feelings on a piece of paper and then got rid of it, either shredded it or burned it, it reduced the anger. So again, research have discovered a simple but effective strategy to help people reduce their feelings of anger, which we all feel, especially these days during Mercury retrograde in Aries. Disposing of a piece of paper containing your written thoughts on the cause of the anger can effectively neutralize it. The process is similar to the Japanese tradition called Hakidashisara. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, in which people write their negative thoughts on a plate and smash them, which I think is really, really cool. It's like taking the Greek tradition to the next level. Their findings suggest a simple and effective method of suppressing anger and it's supported by science. So all those times I told you to write on one piece of paper what you loved about your relationship, on the other piece of paper why you couldn't be with that relationship, every time we talked about rituals for the moon, for the full moon, to burn your anger and all that, it works. You can flush it by the toilet, you can burn it, you can stab it, you can blow it up, you can send drones on it, you can do whatever you want, you can shred it. All of that you can do. So that is something that is now scientifically proven. So definitely test it and try it. That would be a great thing, great activity for Aries. So I hope that you're going to have a great week, even if the weekend sucks. Thanks a lot for being with me and bearing with all my craziness. You know, it is rather emotional to have all of your friends and family kind of text you and WhatsApp and saying, yes, there is a rain of missiles coming our way. But alas, we are used to it. So thank you all for asking how my family was. And again, thanks a lot. Tomorrow, yes, thank you for all the happy birthday wishes. Yeah, a birthday is a solar return. It's a time where it is very emotional for people. So maybe I was over emotional. It's because you have the sun conjuncting your sun. We all know about Mercury we all know about Saturn return. We know about Jupiter return. We talk about Uranus return. But our solar return is every year. The sun returns back to the place it was when you were born. It's called the solar return. So that's definitely a birthday scenario. That's why it's tough. You know how in the three body problem, if you saw that great TV show, it is three suns that they have, and that's why they're kind of messed up. Well, on your birthday, you have two suns. So it's the two sun problem. Thanks a lot, and good luck with everything.